today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland and presidential historian Doug Weed share a special message calling all believers to stand united.
Welcome, everybody, to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's lesson. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you for sending Doug Weed to us, Lord. We open our hearts to your word and your anointing in this man's life, and we receive from heaven direction and insight and revelation from the life of Jesus and from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you join me again today in welcoming Doug Weed to this broadcast? Doug, I just can't tell you how thrilled I am to have you here. I've known you for a lot of years and admired your work, admired and had the privilege of discussing different things with you when you were an advisor in the Bush campaign and then later in the Bush White House and so forth, and the dynamite books that you've written. And to have you on this broadcast is very special to me, particularly when I know you're the busiest man in the world anyway, so to have you here is more than a privilege. It's an honor, sir.
Most of your audience doesn't know how many times you've sat down with presidents of the United States, because those were meetings you kept private, and what was shared you kept private. But they were, you've had your impact, Kenneth, on this country, and impact for good.
Well, I appreciate that, Doug.
Since I've got the floor, in behalf of the people who love you and whose lives have been changed from your ministry, Kenneth Copeland, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Kenneth Copeland, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Praise God. Whoa, hallelujah. Hey, would you like to say that again? Praise the Lord. I receive that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That is my heart's desire, is to count it all joy and go right straight ahead. Praise God. Doug, let's talk about what has come down to one of the main issues in all of this. In years past, when news media and so forth, you know, come out some bad article or something, well, I didn't read the thing, so it didn't affect me. But this is different. This is, the news media had their part to play in this, but this is a member of the United States Senate. That's a different thing altogether. So my conduct in this ministry, glory in my response, reaction, whatever we do now, when it was just the news media, well, it didn't affect really much of anything except my reputation, and that my reputation is not my business. Jesus is my business. I'm not out there trying to get somebody to believe one thing or another about me. I care less. But now, when this thing, though, has the potential of affecting other ministries, other churches, when the government gets involved, that's a whole different story. This privacy issue, what do you got to hide? I mean, why don't you just give them what they want? Well, in first place, most people don't know what they have asked us for. So would you get into that and the true effect of that? Because you see it not only from the minister's side. I mean, you're a minister of the gospel. You're raised in the home of a man that was overseer of the Assembly of God Church for a number of years. And you've been in and out of that situation all your life. But then here also, you've been in government. You know how it works. You know the Constitution of the United States, and you also are very passionate about it. You know how passionate I am about that document. From that perspective, get into this privacy thing, and let's talk about it.
I hate to tell you this, but I was shocked working in Washington and at the seat of power that while the Constitution is revered by Kenneth Copeland and lots of Americans in Texas and around the country, A lot of the politicians in Washington, the Constitution's like youth camp rules. If they can get away with something, they get away with it. And so there's a reason why the Constitution was written the way it was written. And one of those reasons is that all through history, people of one religion have seized power and used that power to persecute and even kill people of other religions. And that's why the separation. And the same was true with the media, that people in power would destroy the opposition press of its day.
They do it today.
Well, they do it today. But the Constitution was an attempt to separate the government from its from co-opting the media and co-opting religion. And when people say, well, what do you have to hide? They have very little sympathy right now for the church to have any privacy because there was the pedophile crisis in the Catholic Church. They say, well, let's see, that you shouldn't be hiding. But when you take information out of context without any rules whatsoever and you release that to the public selectively, you can destroy people. That's why you can't just walk into a television network and say, I want to see what you're doing here. You can't. You wait down there. There's a security there. You give them, I've been to all of the major networks, and you give them your driver's license, and you sign in, and you wait there till somebody comes down an elevator, and they escort you, and you go past the security at the elevators, and you can't get off on any floor. You get off on the floor they let you on. They take you to the room. You can't wander down the hall from that room. You can't go in to a journalist's office and say, look through their files and say, well, I just want to see how you're developing this story and who your sources are. You may have this wrong, and I need to give you the other side. You can't do that because that journalist has privacy. Well, what do you have to hide? Well, they have privacy under the Constitution. And so does the senator. You can't wander into his office and look at his files. He has privacy. And the reason a church should have privacy is there are so many myriad reasons. For example, when the government asks you for your list of donors and their addresses, and these people gave with the expectation of privacy. For one reason, they gave for privacy because they don't want everybody else knowing who they are and what they gave and why. And another, for doctrinal issues. He that giveth in secret shall be rewarded thee openly. Now, you've got the government robbing them of their blessing and their belief and how they believe. And so there are just a long list of reasons why you've done the right thing by saying, we'll answer every single question you've got, but we'll do it through the law by turning this over to the IRS. And the IRS, I've never heard of anybody who's volunteered to say, IRS, we'll give you anything you want, come, look, well, and invited them in.
But people might, you know, they might want to check my insanity over this, but we went to them and invited them to come in. And as a church, that's important because there are certain walls there that they can't just come storming into a church and say, now, we want to see this and that. There's procedures the IRS has to go through. Mm-hmm. But the Internal Revenue Service is charged with that confidentiality. They will not give the information of this church to anybody. They control it. They will disallow anybody to publish your records. So...
Whereas the senator's office in his correspondence from his staff said, we want this public. They made it clear
they're going to do with it. And they've done it in the past. So.
And you have a media that has an antipathy towards anybody of faith in this country or religion. So it is fascinating. It's just, it's a precedent. And if you're a Mormon or you're a Jew or you're a Catholic or you're a Lutheran or a Presbyterian, you better be on alert that there's a precedent being set here. And, you know, you don't care. They're coming for Kenneth Copeland. Well, they'll be coming for you if you allow this breakdown of the Constitution.
Now, your heritage goes a long way back in the ministry. Let's talk about your own dad or your grandparents or somebody. Do you think in their wildest imagination they would have ever thought that they would be barred from speaking about political personalities and so forth from the pulpit?
No, they are.
Would you think in their wildest dreams they would have ever tried to outlaw a nativity scene on a courthouse square? They wouldn't have believed that if you'd told them it was coming. Well, it's here. Yeah. Now, they would never believe that somebody would tell them that they can't preach that certain things are a sin from the Bible, but that's knocking at our door.
The doctrine, that's not knocking at the door, that's here.
It's here.
And it has been throughout American history. We wrote the Constitution, we tried to keep it separate. We weren't entirely successful. There's been periods where government has been highly aggressive towards Mormons, highly anti-Semitic. There have been periods of anti-Semitism in our government. And there was a long period of American history where it was anti-Catholic. As late as 1924, six know-nothings were elected to the United States Congress running essentially as anti-Catholic bigots. So the reason this privacy exists is so that government cannot be seized by a person of one religious persuasion to destroy people of another religious persuasion. Now, by you answering all the questions but wanting to go through the IRS, you're trying to protect yourself from a senator who happens to be of a different religion. Now, my father, he was district superintendent of the Assemblies of God, the first one in the state of Indiana when it was born, the Assemblies of God. And I heard him preach every Sunday. He didn't have a daily TV show like you, so he could use the same sermon. So every Sunday as a little boy, as we went around the state of Indiana, he preached the same sermon. And you know what it was? It was 3 John 2. As an Assemblies of God, Pentecostal district superintendent, he preached, we were poor, the Pentecostals were poor, my dad was poor all his life. But Sunday after Sunday, he preached, above all things, I wish that you will prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And that was his message, and that message has borne fruit. It's resonated with the American public. There were preachers for years in the pulpits who said, slaves, obey your masters. And, you know, the black middle class in America, there's a huge black middle class in the United States today. There's a black candidate running for president.
Yes, which he is.
And the black middle class in this country owes a debt to preachers like yourself who got into the pulpit and said that that the death of Jesus, the atonement, your sins are forgiven. You stand up. You have a right to be healthy.
Well, Creflo Dollar's one of them.
He's one of them.
One of them that was attacked, his church.
That's right. Eddie Long's church.
Eddie Long.
You know, as a Republican, I didn't want to get, you know, you're not Republican or Democrat and you're Christian. But just to say, as a Republican, the only blacks we have in the Republican Party are Pentecostals. And we're just about to lose all of them because of this attack on Pentecostals. The six targets are all of the same religion. Now, if they were all Jewish or all Mormon or all Islamic, if the senator said, well, we think there's Islamic terrorism and possible in some of the mosques and they're teaching extremism, and he called and targeted six Islamic mosques, the whole country would rally to defend them and their right of freedom and religion. And the whole country better be alert of what's happening here. The power is being seized by... When I was a little boy, I talked to my dad. I love the Baptists, and I have so many friends of Baptists, and there's so many Baptists who are defending you right now. But when I was a little boy, the Baptists published tracts saying that we Pentecostals were not only going to hell, we were demon-possessed. Mm-hmm. I remember reading those as a little boy. They saying we're demon possessed, and you have now government seized by a power, seized by a senator, who's demanding these questions. He's targeted all six Pentecostal ministries, and this is why the Constitution provides you with some privacy, so that you can go to a bureaucracy and an agency that's accountable to laws that, ironically, this particular senator himself helped write. To protect.
Yes, he did. The very protection laws between the church and the IRS, he championed that in the mid-80s. And God bless him for it, because he was right in what he did.
But we have had your doctrines have had an impact in this country, an impact for good, and in the world. As you know what's happened in Nigeria, the new wealth that's emerging in Nigeria, that wouldn't happen if they were browbeat from the pulpit. Now, there's truth. There's so many wonderful truths. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. But treasures in heaven, neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. There's so many wonderful things. But in my books, in the book, The Raising of a President, it's about the mothers and fathers of the presidents. And Lincoln had a law partner named Herndon. And there was a client, an old lady who was dying. He had to go in a buggy out there and help her write a will. So he went with Herndon. When he got there, this woman was dying. Lincoln leaned over her bed, and out of him poured these verses of scripture. In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I tell you that. Herndon was just shocked. He said, Abe, on the way drive home, he said, where did you learn that much Bible to just quote? Because he apparently just quoted chapters to her. He said, my mother was so poor, said she couldn't afford buttons. She used thorns to hold her dress together. They lived in a one-room log cabin for 14 years in Indiana. With the first wife, it was a dirt floor. The second wife said, hey, you know, I'm not going to bed with you till you give me a wooden floor and put a door on this house. So they got, Abe finally got a wooden floor with when his the stepmom took over. And she was a wonderful woman, the stepmom. But that first mother, she quoted those verses over and over and about a mansion in heaven, but lived in absolute poverty. And Abraham Lincoln told his law partner, I decided I'm going to do something in this lifetime.
In the rotten here and now.
And he set the slaves free. And yes, it's wonderful what God's got for us in the hereafter. And everybody who teaches that is absolutely right.
Yeah.
But what you have brought to people has been liberating to people, not just blacks, but liberating to all people. As I mentioned in Nigeria and what's happening in China from your tapes that are going all over the world, and your books that are going all over the world. And I believe that this is a spiritual attempt to kind of clam you up, to say, Kenneth Copeland, you'd be a little wiser to change your doctrine just a little bit here, and then they wouldn't be so upset with you. And I say, preach on, preach on. And you have a right to your privacy. But we do need to correct some of the, quote, facts. The article I saw that said you have this great big home, this is Kenneth Copeland's house, and it's owned by the ministry. I didn't know that. I saw that. I thought, well, boy, he needs to say that. This is owned by the ministry. And the government can't decide who gets to preach and what they get to preach. Now there have always been elitists who've tried to do that in government and politics.
Yes,
and
there have.
In business. And there was a time when government tried to have only certain programming on TV religious, and it failed. And then, finally, the networks themselves said, we're not selling network time to any of these ministries, and they didn't. But these ministries, there was supply and demand. And the local stations said, our community wants this show, so we'll take you. You can buy the time, and we won't even air the network time. They can keep their money. We'll take you. So there were these syndicated religious programs before Merv Griffin, before Dick Cavett, or all these. There were these
Rick's
religious Maud programs.
Amy Humbug.
All over the country.
Way back there. He, in fact, I guess he was one of the
pioneers
of that.
And that was supply and demand. It worked. And the stations wanted it over networking program because their people wanted it. And then the networks lobbied Congress. They got laws passed that allowed them to buy more stations. So they could own more. So they bought more stations, including the biggest markets. And they said, you aren't buying time from us. Again, trying to block these popular television ministries. And what happened? The Christians went out and bought their own stations. They built stations, low-watt stations, and then bought high-watt stations, and cobbled together their own networks. And then the cable said, well, we're not carrying you. And Dish TV and all these new businesses boomed, and Christians could get its supply and demand.
Yes.
Finally, must carry passed in Congress. So you can't say on the one hand that these doctrines are harmful to society and see the good that it's doing to society and the changes that are taking place in people's lives. And there's a reason you're among the most popular television ministries in America. The reason is your message works. And people out there with their Bible who are turning, looking at every verse you give them, checking on you, it resonates with them.
Oh, Doug, back when we first started, back in the late 60s, and I would have people that just get so mad they couldn't breathe. The Bible doesn't say that. And I don't have any way of telling you how many. Lots and lots and lots of people come back and say, Copeland, I got to apologize to you, man. I said, well, what? I was so mad at you. I was up. I didn't sleep for 3 nights. Going to prove you wrong. And he said, it's all in there, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you know, anybody, I don't care who you are, me or anybody else, you get to where you assume certain things were true, and you assume the scriptures, and then you get in there, and actually the verses you thought said one thing, you go read them, and they said something else. And the body of God's Word was there all the time. So this privacy business, I could tell from the first day there's something that they're putting pressure on me before they ever said anything to me about it, attempting to drive a wedge between Gloria and me and the members of our church and our partners so that maybe they'll stop giving into the ministry and I'll cry and say, hey, you got to stop this. We're going to wind up with nothing here. I gave my solemn oath. I made covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ over communion, over His body and His blood. When I went into this ministry, I was still a student at Oral Roberts University. I had seen, of course, back then I'm thinking about mailing lists, and I had seen so much abuse in the world, in church, people selling their mailing lists, and my name winds up on some guy's list. I got mail from somebody I wouldn't even let in my house, you know. So I promised, I said, I will never, as long as I live, give my mailing list the names of my partners and church members or anybody else that's ever given anything or ever even written us a note. I will not give that to anybody. All of this other, there are certain things in this church that was not sensitive in that area. All of our records are private. But when it comes to that issue there, they're not getting it. I don't care how many subpoenas come up, they're not getting it. I will guard that with my life because of my covenant with Jesus, Doug. And that translates into a covenant I have with you. Because you, as a partner, as a church member, or whomever else is hearing me say this,
Well, that battle right now is going on with the presidential libraries. The government, the presidential libraries are protecting their donors. Why? What do they have to hide? And the answer is that through all history, power has been seized by people of one political persuasion to persecute people of another political persuasion. So there are donors to Bill Clinton's library, to George Herbert Walker Bush's library, corporate donors who do not want it made public. They donated so that the public doesn't punish them in the marketplace, or so that some future government doesn't say, well, you contributed to a Democrat or to a Republican. So there are reasons why the Constitution was written the way it was written, and churches should not just roll over when the Constitution is being violated, because once you lose that power, it's gone.
Oh, yeah, you can't get it back. I don't care how mad you get it. If you give it up, they can publish it on the walls and signboards and whatever else they want. Brother Doug and I will be back in just a moment.
We're with you. Don't quit. No matter what, there's people that are behind you, that are in agreement with you, that are partners with you, and we will not walk away, no matter what.
The Lessons from History package includes two dynamic books by presidential historian and New York Times best-selling author Doug Weed. All the President's Children and the Raising of a President will help shed light on the challenges and victories of American presidents and their first families. Launch into a historical adventure and learn how leaders are not only born, but made. Order the Lessons from History package for a special price of $25. Visit kcm.org and order your package online, or you may call toll-free 800-575-4455. If you prefer to write, the address is Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. All the President's Children and the Raising of a President by Doug Weed. Order the Lessons from History package today.
Now, this DVD that I'm offering to anybody that would like to have it, just use the information on your screen and order it. I'll send it to you postpaid and free of charge. This DVD is a chapel service that we had here in the ministry just a few days ago. I preached a message about entering into the rest of God and talked about where Gloria and I have been all the way through all of this situation. And then Brother Doug Weed, it's just one of the most powerful messages that I've ever heard, right down the same lines of what he's been sharing on the broadcast, but a whole lot more detail here because he didn't have any time restrictions. And then Mr. David Middlebrook and Matt Anthony, our lead counsel, and from their perspective and so forth. So there's a lot of information on here that I know a lot of you are curious about. Not only that, there's some things in here when you face the same kind of persecutions in your life that we do, so it'll help you. Now, All the President's Children, New York Times bestseller, Triumph and Tragedy in the Lives of America's First Families by Doug Weed, and then the second book, The Mothers and Fathers of Our Nation's Leaders. This actually began with a conversation you had with Mr. Bush, right?
George W.
Back when he was helping, and you were helping campaign for his dad.
That's right. And
very interesting situation. And you began to study the offspring of the presidents and gave the inspiration for this book. Dynamite stuff. Order it. Get a hold of it. You really need to have those books. They'll help you. Praise God. Now, go to Doug Weed's blog and be informed. I'm telling you, you need to get in there in a format you can not only learn from. DougWeed.wordpress.com. Go to our new website, BelieversStandUnited.com. We're out of time. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you to help you grow in faith and encourage you with the love of God every day. For more information, visit our website at kcm.org. Jump into faith, hope, and love. Come to the 2008 Great Lakes Believers Convention August 18th to 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, and Bill Winston for 6 days of soaking in God's Word. Super Kid Academy will also be in session for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.